my first hand up, we'll see who can get it. I was going to go with an AFL player, but then I thought, oh, that's who am I? Probably not many of us will know it, but here we go. I was born in 1957. I am a Queenslander. I was Ducks at Nambour State High School. I majored in Chinese History and Language at university. No? Yeah, it was. That's disappointing. One more game, seeing as that went so quick. Who am I? I entered a 25 words or less competition. Yeah. Had some exciting news on a 25 words or less comp. Get to go with Brent and kick a footy with Nick Malcheski. If that goes over your head, just smile and nod and share my enjoyment. But anyhow, tonight, we see Paul tells us as Christians, he answers for us who we are. He answers for the Christian church the question, who am I? He then urges the church to be who we are, to be who we are in Christ, not who we used to be. So who does Paul suggest the Colossians are? So in verses 1 to 4, we see him say, well, you're raised with Christ, raised to where he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Their old life is dead. Their new life is in Christ, who allows them access to the Father through the blood he shed for them. And lastly, the Colossians, who they are, well, they are waiting for Christ to appear to take them to glory. Now, as far as the game Who Am I, it doesn't really get any better, does it? To think that we are with Christ in heaven, that we're waiting for him to return to take us there. Our old life is dead, we have a new life in Christ. Now, an important thing here that I was really convicted of was it's not who we're going to be. It's not who we're going to be in 10 years' time. Paul doesn't use the words, this is what you're sort of aiming for. It's who you are now. Paul wants the people to realise who they are right now. Because it's only by realising who they are in Christ that they'll be who they are called to be. Now, as Christians, do we know who we are? Do we actually think that we're seated with Christ? It's a bit of a weird thing to think about. Do we actually think that we're with him in heaven? That we are waiting for Jesus, who has our new life, to appear to take us there? Now, Paul issues us this challenge to realise who we are as God's people, as his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, because it's only once we realise who we are that as Christians we will be who we are, that we realise that we are God's people, that we're chosen, that we're holy, that we're dearly loved. Once again, the answer is real simple. If we don't know who we are, then it's pretty easy to find out. So, you might want to read your Bible. Yeah, crazy thought. You might want to go to Bible study. You might want to pray to God and ask him that he would show the riches of his love to you. So, yeah, as I was just saying, it's really easy. You might even have two of them at home. You might even have it on your iPod. Yeah? Yeah, Sam, you know what I'm saying? Even though that's an iPad, that's embarrassing. It's really easy to get into it. And I was listening to a sermon by John Piper a few months ago, and he said, if I gave everyone in my service $100 and said, you only get this $100, if next week when you come back you've read the Bible, everyone in the service would have done it. But then he goes on to say that what you would gain out of reading your Bible that week would far surpass the $100 I would give you. And, I mean, wouldn't it be such a great encouragement if next week we asked who was convicted by the Spirit to get open the Bible this week, and every single one of us raised our hands and said, yeah, we got stuck into it. We read a few chapters, or even better still, we might have read a whole book. It would be such an encouragement, because then that week, when I felt lazy not to read my Bible, or I thought, oh, I'm not really feeling it at the moment, I would then be reminded that everyone in our church is getting stuck into God's Word. And they're getting stuck into God's Word so they can realise who they are in Christ, so that they are acting and living out who they are. Paul's next step, after telling us who we are, is to then tell us what it doesn't look like. Now, this is often a helpful thing, to start off with what it doesn't look like, so then you can move on to, well, if it doesn't look like that, what does it actually look like? So in verses 5 to 9, Can we have the next slide, Terry? I should have said that about 10 minutes ago, but we'll get there. So that's sort of where we're going. So who we used to be, it doesn't look like this. So being part of God, with God in heaven, being in Christ, doesn't look like this. Paul tells us, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Now, the first time I read that really quick because there was a lot to take in, and I thought the faster I read it, the less convicted I'll actually be of the things I do wrong. Problem was, I had to read it a fair bit to actually do the talk, so I eventually got convicted of it. But Paul tells us, being who you are as a Christian, it doesn't look like sexual immorality. It's not having sex with your girlfriend. It's not having sex outside of marriage. It's not impurity. It's not greed or lust. And it's probably no coincidence that Paul, when he lists the first list, it's all about sex. Now, the next list, Paul says, being who you are as a Christian, it doesn't look like lying. It doesn't look like lying to your brothers or sisters at church. It's not filled with rage. It's not filled with anger. Being who you are as a Christian isn't seeking to harm others. It's not speaking with filthy language, or it's not slandering other Christians. It's a challenging set of lists, isn't it? I mean, none of us here would dare to say to God, or to put our hand up right now and say, we didn't struggle with at least one of those things. And Paul, he's not trying a guilt trip here. He's not trying to make us all feel bad about the way we live. His point is to remember, this isn't who you are now. This isn't how you are supposed to live. This is who you used to be, but now you are in Christ. So these actions, this old way, this life that you used to live, needs to be put to death. It's not just stop. It's not just work your way into it, just get rid of it eventually. It's put to death. Literally murder, slaughter these things from their life. And as we read this list, if there's something there that we think of right now that we need to get rid of, then we need to get rid of it now. We need to put it to death now. We need to murder it, to slaughter it from our lives. Because Paul tells us, he reminds us of who we are, and because of who we are, we should be people that never do these things. Now, to help us get this, I've got a friend with me. Do you want to go to the next slide? This is, next slide, or next click. This is Harry the Heathen. Everyone say hi to Harry the Heathen. Yeah, Harry the Heathen. Sorry if your name's Harry. Happy coincidence. Now, for Harry, Harry doesn't know God and the way God wants him to live. So even though he does heaps of other things, he's going to do these things because he's just going to want to do what he wants to do. So he's doing all those things up there, and he's driven by what he wants to do. He's driven by his earthly nature. But good news, Harry becomes Harry in heaven. Yeah, round of applause for Harry. Yeah, obviously we're all feeling it. So Harry in heaven, he is now, next couple of clicks. Yeah, that'll do. Whoa. Yeah, keep going. Whoa. Greed was a hard one to work through. Now, Harry, because of who he is in Christ, then has to get rid of all that bad stuff from his life. Now, I've got a garbage bin because I wasn't quite sure how I was going to murder it up there. But it's a bit nicer with the rubbish bin, isn't it? So what we need to think about is, as Christians, we're loved. A few next clicks, Harry. Almost called you Harry, Terry. Yep, stop. Harry, because of who he is, because of who he is in Jesus, he's murdered those things from his life. He's thrown away the actions and deeds that aren't showing people who he is in Christ. And Paul now moves on to the next list, the list that shows people who we are in Christ and how we're called to live. So who are we? Who are we as Christians? Well, we're chosen, we're part of God's family, we're raised with Christ. We have a new life in Christ, and Paul tells us, we need to be someone who clothes ourselves with these things. Now, the idea of clothe ourselves is, I think, really helpful, because the first thing you do in the morning, well, the first thing I do in the morning is you get out of bed and you think, man, it's cold at the moment, I'm going to put some clothes on. I'm just going to keep going, My missus will make fun of me later about that one. But basically, the first thing you do when you get up is you get dressed for the day. And what we need to do as Christians is when we first get up of the morning is we need to be putting on these things. So we'll go to Harry in Heaven. Feel free to click a bit quicker. There we go. And he's to bind these things together with love. Now, as we look up there, Harry's a pretty nice guy, isn't he? Well, that's who we are called to be. We're called to be someone who's thrown away the old self, put to death the old self, and to be people that forgive each other, people that forgive their brother and sisters when they wrong them, people that are thankful for all the great things that God gives us, people that are patient, even if it's patience in the Macca's line or the old person in the supermarket aisle that can't walk as quick as we can. We're called to be patient. Now, this is how we're called to live, because we're in Jesus. We're called to live this life because it is how God has treated us, and it's because God is like those things. Now, Paul doesn't say it's easy to do. He's not saying, oh, you guys will be able to smash it easy, don't worry about it, don't stress. He's not saying it's easy, but it's saying we need to do it, and we need to do it because of who we are now, because of who we are in Christ. Now, I really enjoy reading church signs. Like, you normally get a good laugh out of the church signs. So can we have the first one up? This is some American church. Give God what's right, not what's left. The Presbyterian guys also do it. I saw one which said, need a lifeguard, Jesus can walk on water. Oh, pretty good. Or it was needed, yeah, something like that. But next one, do you know what hell is? Come here, our preacher. Wonder who the preacher set that one up. Sunday's message, Jesus said, bring me that ass. I said it right. There we go. Bring me that ass, the donkey, for those who are just a little bit worried there. But I wonder... Yeah, thanks. Next slide. That's going to be distracting. What would our church sign if we had one up out the front? If we had one that we could put words on that's not just fixed. Well, Paul tells us it should say something like this. It should say, come inside to our church, people that are chosen by God, His holy and loved people, and you're going to see kindness. You're going to see a people that forgive each other. You're going to see a people that are patient with each other. You're going to see a people that show compassion, people that are thankful for all the things they are given. Our church, full of God's people, should be a place that exhibits who we are. Now, as a church, it's hard to be who we are. It's hard to always be kind. It's hard to be patient. We're going to fail. Often, we're not much better than Harry the Heathen in the way we act. So what can we do as God's people to ensure that our church is a place that can put a sign out the front and say, enter and you'll experience all these wonderful things? Our answer is in verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, if we want to be a people that can put a sign out the front and anyone can walk in and they experience those wonderful things, we need to remind ourselves of who we are. We need to let the message of Christ dwell in us richly. We need to be able to teach each other, to share what we've been reading, share our wisdom. We need to be able to admonish each other. And that means coming up and saying, hey Josh, what you said then, that wasn't really helpful. That's in the filthy language category. How about you get rid of it? Because that's not who you are anymore. And it's me being hopefully humble enough to go, thanks Phil, that was really helpful. Now, it's coming to church as well and sharing wisdom with each other in sharing psalms, and it's singing together. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sing together and to join with each other at church. I'm part of college at the moment. I've got to read a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. And one of the things it says is that often the people who are able to have church the most are the ones who appreciate it the least. So as a church, we should never take for granted the joy of meeting together and being able to sing and encourage one another. Because if we want to be people that live out who we are, then we need to be a church that helps each other, that's committed to each other, of reminding each other who we are in Christ. So who are we? Who am I? Well, we are in Christ. We're raised with Him in heaven. We have a new life. We have been saved. We've been chosen. We've been loved and will continue to be loved by God. And we are waiting for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus, to return to take us to heaven. So we're going to murder our old life. We're going to throw it away. We're going to get rid of the earthly habits that don't honour God. We're going to be a people, we're going to be someone who shows who we are in Christ by living it out. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if you guys help me out. And the only way you guys are going to be able to do that if we all help each other out. To be a church that reminds each other that they are in Christ. And the only way we're going to be able to remind each other that we're in Christ is by having the message, the word, dwell among us richly. A church that encourages each other by sharing how they are killing sin in their life. A church that exhibits all the things God expects of His people. And we want to do that so we can be a people, a church that knows who we are and a church that acts out who we are in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we are chosen. We thank You that we are loved. We thank You that we are called by You. We thank You that we are seated with Christ in heaven, that we're raised with Him, and we're waiting for Him to return to bring us home. So, Lord, help us to put to death, to murder, to get rid of the old life, the life that You hate, the life that You don't want us to live. So, Lord, help us to be people, a church that are thankful, a church that is kind, a church that clothes itself with all those wonderful things. Help us to be able to approach each other, to share wisdom, to share psalms, to share encouragement with each other, but also help us to be a church that are humble enough to accept criticism. A church that's humble enough to accept that when they're wrong and to accept that that's not them anymore because they are in Christ, and to help them move on and to live for Your honour and glory. We pray that You'd help us to be a church that has the word dwell among us richly, to be a church that loves Your word, and a church that loves it because of it tells us about all the great things You've done. Lord, help us to be a church that engages with Your word as much as we can for the glory of You and for the encouragement and the seeking out to be helpful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that Your Spirit would be able to work in us so powerfully that these things might be able to happen, because without Him, we wouldn't be able to do it. Amen.